Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 75th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm so pleased to be joined by filmmaker Sudabe Montezai. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And of course, you're presenting the film Joy at the Giornate degli Autori Strand. I guess the first question that I should ask you is, just for the benefit of our listeners who are not familiar with the film, how would you introduce it to them?
Joy, it tells the story of a woman from Nigeria who works as a prostitute in Vienna, in Austria, and she has been victim of human trafficking. And she's trying to survive. She has a little daughter and a family back home to support, and she's trying to buy herself free from her exploiter, who's the madame, who was a former prostitute herself. So it tells us like a vicious cycle of human trafficking through these figures.
Yeah. I mean, it's great because really, I mean, it takes you into this situation, and I feel like, you know, you find out about it from a very human perspective. But I mean, how do you find out about all these things? How familiar were you with this world?
I kind of stumbled upon this subject. Yeah. I read a book about it, and I was so shocked because I understood that it's women exploiting other women. Yeah. Usually, I mean, there are a lot of stories of sex trafficking from other countries, and the pimps and the traffickers are always men. And in this specific case with Nigeria, it's women. And they're also former victims of trafficking themselves and former prostitutes who kind of had this success story of paying off their debts and turning the tables and becoming an exploiter themselves, which is like horrific. Yes. But it was also fascinating as a filmmaker. How can this system work?
I know.
You know.
Because it is a system. Like, for example, the crazy thing is this debt, you know, that they have to pay back.
It's crazy, the amounts. Like, some women, I met a lot of women doing research. Uh-huh. Some of them owed like 60,000 euros.
What?
It's incredible amounts. And, you know, supposedly for bringing them from Nigeria to Europe, which probably cost the madame 2,000 euros or five or whatever, but they don't understand it, you know. And so they also, the other thing is, they swear an oath in Nigeria. They go to a native doctor called Juju priest.
Yeah, Juju, yeah.
And so they feel really, they are really, really afraid of this oath, of this native doctor. And so they feel obligated to pay it because they have sworn, you know.
Yeah, and that's a perfect example of something that you just don't know about, this juju. And also something that shows that this sort of system rests upon beliefs and, you know, that some sort of like a, I don't know, tradition, would you say, like a belief that goes beyond the material world?
Oh, definitely.
Spiritual.
Most definitely. I mean, all of West Africa or all over Africa, like the belief in the spiritual world is very strong.
Yeah.
And that it also affects here our life a lot, you know, on a daily basis. That's a very, very strong belief system. And like all this system of juju and voodoo is not only negative, you know, these native doctors, they do also herbal medicine and things like that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in the context of trafficking, they are accomplices.
Yeah.
Because they're also like, they're really a big part of this system of exploitation.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah, just going back to your research, how did you kind of do that?
It was really hard in the beginning. Yeah. I didn't know where to begin, you know. I started to do research in the red light districts in Vienna. But that was the hardest part because
the women... How do you approach them, you know?
Yeah, but it was actually also very hard because they didn't want to talk, you know. They were really afraid of the traffickers. Mm. So then I shifted my interest to other places. I thought, okay, there must be women who got out of this, you know, and lead a normal life now. Maybe I can approach them. Maybe they will talk.
Yeah.
And then somehow this worked much better. Mm. And then somehow like the research led into casting, and the casting were also like some kind of extended research. And then like there was a point where it all turned and like everyone started talking, and I got so many stories.
What do you mean by extend? Like the casting was extended research?
I felt like, for example, the way I work, I like to work with improvisation.
Okay.
Although I have a screenplay with a clear storyline and everything, mm-hmm. but I don't write out any dialogues and I don't show the screenplay to the actors. So it's all improvisation on set.
Oh, I see.
And so in the casting, I was trying to find out what kind of people would be like good for these parts. Mm. And talking about their own stories and their own experiences, it was like everything was mixed together, you know, research, casting, and then eventually leading into making the film.
But the actors in the film are professionals?
No, they are not trained actors.
Oh,
they're also all of them are first appearances in the film. Yeah. But I still see them as actors because I think that they did a serious acting job and they are not playing themselves. Although, like, some of them, to more or less extent, have experiences with these stories, or some of them have similar stories, but they are still not playing themselves. They are still acting out, like, inside the screenplay with a role that sometimes maybe they would do things differently, but the character wants them to do it this way.
Sure.
And we would
sure.
talk about that, you know. That's just how you also work with actors.
Yeah. But you mentioned there that some of them had similar stories. What do you mean by that? Like, maybe they weren't directly involved with this particular story, but some similar situation.
You know, we decided together with the women who are in the film to not disclose too much of their private lives, and just not point like who had what kind of story. Just leave it open. But I can tell you that from the people who act in the film, a lot of them had like very direct experiences of this story.
Yeah. Well, moving away from the actual, you know, exploitative nature of the work, there is something warm in the way that these girls behave and where they live, because they all live in this house that I'm not really sure it's a flat or a house, but they live in the same place.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of warmth that they share, although I believe that Joy, the main character, who the title of the film is, you know, comes from her name, says that it's kind of a doggy dog world, something like that, where, like, you know, yes, I'm your friend, but I'm also looking after number one, you know.
Exactly. and that's how I experienced it when I talked to these women, also when I did research trips to Nigeria. So it's interesting. It's a very ambiguous situation, because at the same time, I mean, these women, usually also in reality, not only in my film, live together in very confined small spaces. Yeah, like, I don't know, six adult women live in an apartment where normally a couple would live or a single person would live. So there's a lot of intimacy because they have to live together like this, you know, share a bathroom, share, like, four people sleep in a room together.
Yeah.
So there is some kind of sisterhood and warmth, but at the same time, like, everyone is fighting for themselves. And they say, my own interests are the most important.
Was that reflected on the set?
On the set, it was so funny, because we actually, like, we built this apartment, or it was like a basement that we built the set in. And the art director, she did such a fantastic job with all the details that when our actors came in the first time, one of the Nigerian women, she said, "So where are the people who are living here? How did you ask them to move out?" Because she thought really Nigerian people are living there, because every detail was so right.
Yeah.
And they kind of claimed the space very quickly. And it was so funny, for example, in the, like, on set, between takes, sometimes when they're tired, they would just... three or four of the women would just get into one bed and take a nap, you know. They became friends really, really quickly. That was very sweet to see.
Yeah, that's lovely. You know, we're running out of time, but I wanted to mention as well that in the film we do see, like, characters who appear to be outsiders. For example, a man who, you know, who shares a bond with Joy. But it seems like they're also kind of closed off. They don't really... they're somewhat skeptical of the help that they can receive beyond, I guess, monetary, if anything.
Exactly. I mean, and they have every reason to be skeptical, because, like, the laws in most European countries are... I mean, there are a lot of NGOs that are trying to help, but the laws are not really supporting these women, you know? Nobody's interested in their lives. And they are very often deported and don't have a right to stay, even if they go to court and you know, make a complaint against the traffickers and name names and everything. So for them, there is really... And they also have a very closed-off life, you know? Like, the people they meet is the Johns who come and pay for sex, and some of them are terrible, some of them are nice people, but... There is nothing personal about it. And I wanted to keep the perspective of the women, you know. Don't look at them from outside, but let the audience experience their world with them from their perspective.
Well, just as a final question, from your research and from working on this film, what do you think actually is working? You mentioned NGOs, you mentioned, you know, is there any support groups or anything that is kind of working and dealing with the situation?
There are a lot of support groups and NGOs, and they are working in terms that they're helping individual women in individual situations, which is very good. But if we wanted to do something against the system, I think not much is happening, because there's like such a... There are so many bigger issues here at stake. I mean, you would have to start with why are people even trying to leave African countries to come to Europe, etc.?
That's a good point. That is a good point. And on that note, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thanks a lot.
I wish you all the best, and I remind our listeners that the film is called Joy, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.